today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You have to listen to Jimmy Buffett if you grew up in Florida, right? I mean, it should be in the Constitution down there.
All right, sad news in the world of music. Jimmy Buffett, very popular singer, songwriter, Jimmy Buffett, died at the age of 76, about a week ago as we record this. This is Jim Lenihan. You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. Patrick Foster is not on this episode, but I have with me Kevin Bartlett. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Jim.
Hey. So, Kevin, I know you are a big fan of Jimmy Buffett. We'll get to that in a moment. Let me just mention that this is a guy who, you know, I think a lot of people our age remember for, you know, hits from the late 70s, you know, with Margaritaville, Cheeseburger in Paradise, songs like that. I remember Margaritaville, of course, heard it so many times on the radio that, you know, I could recite the song by heart, right? I mean, you've heard it a million times. But I do admire that about the song. There's a certain vivid, you know, imagery and choice of words in that song that I really admire. I think it's a very well-written song. And I think that Jimmy Buffett, I know he went on to become, you know, probably one of the biggest touring artists of all time. He built a whole kind of business empire around his, you know, his image and music style, sort of a whole culture that he cultivated, all of that. But I will just say that to me, his greatest achievement, and I never went to see him in concert or anything like that, but to me, his greatest achievement is just that his music made people happy. And I think that should really be admired. That I don't think that's, you know, necessarily as easy an achievement as people might think. To give people that sense of just a sort of a joyous escape from their real lives, you know, every once in a while where they go to a show once a year or, you know, put on his Songs You Know by Heart album or that kind of stuff and just hang out and, you know, pop open a drink, you know, that I, as I said, should be celebrated. You know, we need more joy in this world, I think. So anyway, that's mine, little take, but I'm going to turn it over here to Kevin, who has much more extensive experiences with the music of Jimmy Buffett. And so, Kevin, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Jim, thanks for having me on. It's quite honestly, it's been a tough week. I, you know, if we would have done this immediately last week, right after,
yeah,
you know, I heard the news, it would have been, I probably would have been fine. But having a week of digesting, drinking margaritas, I had way too many margaritas last Saturday, that's for sure. And looking at, you know, the pouring of love from everybody around the world, you know, to Jimmy, it's you know, really sad. But as you said, we are at the point of our lives where the rock stars that we grew up with, that we love, are, you know, it's more and more. Right. You know, it's more and more that they're passing away. You can't stop time, right?
Right.
And so that, you know, so, and Jimmy was such a huge part of my life growing up in Florida. I mean, it's Jimmy Buffett. You have to listen to Jimmy Buffett if you grew up in Florida.
Right.
Right. I mean, it should be in the Constitution.
Yes,
there.
That's right. It's like Springsteen, New Jersey, John Mellencamp in Indiana, right? Jimmy Buffett in Florida, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you touched on Margaritaville, and that's probably like the only radio hit. I mean, he had, okay, up until the Alan Jackson stuff in the 2000s, right, with It's 5 o'clock Somewhere,
right?
Right. You know, that was the only song, or maybe Come Monday, that they'd play on the radio.
Right.
But when you saw him in concert, you know, he had what he called like the eight songs. There were like eight songs, and they're all off of Songs You Know by Heart that he had to play. Right. And that kind of expanded. I used to, some friends of mine that, you know, grew up on Buffett, we would be like, oh, are we going to hear Margaritaville again? You know, because you get, you know, you just get to that. And but you're right. Those songs brought so much joy to people. I mean, you stand in that arena or that, you know, that shed, and people are singing at the top of their right. lungs to, you know, those songs. And you read some of the messages from the celebrities that, you know, said, and they talk about the positivity
yes.
of Jimmy Buffett
yes.
and what a positive person that he was. And you're right. We need more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, what's wrong with that? You know, nothing at all. It's great.
No.
So how many times did you see him live? Were you a regular parrot head,
yes.
as they call it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, numbers, I've seen him just about 40 times.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The first time I saw him was at Red Rocks in Colorado. I was staying with my aunt and uncle out there. And at the time, I think Jimmy also lived in Aspen. He spent a little bit
right.
of time there. And he also introduced me to Hunter S. Thompson, who I absolutely love.
So how so?
Just by I think in interviews.
Okay.
He would you know talk about Hunter S. Thompson, and it, you know, I was reading everything at that time, right? There was no internet, so anything I could get, you know, that were, you know, a magazine or whatever with Jimmy Buffett's, you know, and I'm trying to get that, and you know, he just talked about Hunter S. Thompson, and they were kind of neighbors in Aspen, right? And so that's another rabbit hole. You know, Hunter S. Thompson is amazing.
Well,
was amazing.
Yeah. And just to interject real quickly, I think a lot of people don't necessarily know this, that Jimmy Buffett was also a writer. And
yes.
he wrote books, both fiction and nonfiction. And he started as a journalist. He wrote for Billboard magazine early on. And he did bring a writerly touch to his songwriting. And what I mean by that, as I mentioned, even in a big mainstream hit like Margaritaville, the imagery is so vivid. There's a real precision in his choice of words. And I think a lot of that comes from him, from being a keen observer and being able to bring that sort of writerly touch to his music. But anyway, I'll let you get back.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I want to touch on his writing, and I'll talk about some examples, you know, that I think people should check out. Like I said, I've seen him, you know, around 40 times. And my good friend, Dave Hagler, who now lives in the Maryland area, he had a co-op job in D.C. and then he got a job in D.C. and I was in Chicago. And on the summers, he would come out to see Buffett. Or I would go over out there to see Buffett at Meriwether Post Pavilion.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was fantastic. You know, and he would have a carload of friends that were coming. And there was one time I was I was going out with this girl, and Hagler comes in, and they made these T-shirts, just white T-shirts. And on the shoulder, they had a parrot sewn into the T-shirt. And we're writing songs, our favorite songs, on the T-shirt, and we're wearing that to the show.
Okay.
Well, my girlfriend and Hagler got in a fight or whatever. I still to this day, I have no idea what the hell it was about. It was just immaturity, I'm sure, and alcohol. And so we're on our way to the show, and my girlfriend is like, "I'm not going." I'm like, "What do you mean you're not going?" Mind you, she had also written "Taken" on my sleeves. Like,
nice.
Like I was such a stud.
Yeah, right.
So she gets out of the car. I follow after her and we have this conversation and I'm like, okay, well, there's a payphone. You know, why don't you call your dad, have him pick you up? We're going to the show. These guys drove in and I left. And as soon as I got into the car, my friends cut off the Taken sleeves from my shirt. And we got to the show and there were these, this is at Poplar Creek. And at the time you could bring food in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had like a huge cooler full of chicken and we were hungry. So we started, they're like, if you can sing, we'll name a Buffett song. And if you can sing it, we'll give you a piece of chicken. So that's okay. What we did. And I mean, it was just a great, it was a great time. And, you know, that's the thing about going to a Buffett show or going to a Grateful Dead show. You know, I compare the two.
Yes.
You know, I was seeing the Grateful Dead in Miami and I happened to be interviewed by some reporter who was working the parking lot. And I said, my perfect show would have been, you know, a Buffett Grateful Dead doubleheader. Right. That would have been extremely awesome because it's that parking lot scene. It's the tailgating beforehand. It's that community. And, you know, that's what the music is all about. It's community.
You hit upon it exactly. I was just going to use that same word, you know, and again, there's a certain admiration for that. That's not an easy thing to do. I don't think people realize you can be fans of a band or an artist and share that with others, but it's the rare case where it becomes like, quote unquote, a scene. You know what I mean? A sense of community and people really feel bonded together, right, in that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, through his music, through his books, I mean, and through that one song, Margaritaville, my God, has he commoditized that song?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, you got restaurants, you got a retirement community. I mean, right. Jimmy Buffett became a lifestyle brand.
Right. Right.
You know,
I went once to a Cheeseburger in Paradise restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a chain of restaurants. Right. Yeah. So in Indiana, which you don't much, you know, equate with Paradise, but again, it was an escape, right? So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, didn't he have Landshark beer? Wasn't that his beer brand?
Yep, with right? Anheuser-Busch. Yep.
I'm sorry, let's get back to your story. Did you have other stories about seeing him?
One thing I wanted to, you know, talk about is I saw him a few times solo.
Okay.
Acoustic.
Okay.
And those were the best shows. You know, I mean, it's fun when he's got the whole band and all that, but when he's playing it more of an intimate setting and he's just got the acoustic guitar.
He went to Paris looking for answers to questions that bothered him so. He was impressive, young and aggressive, saving the world on his own. But the warm summer breezes, the French wines and cheeses put his ambitions at bay. Summers and winters scattered like splinters in 4 or 5 years slipped away. Then he went to England, played piano, married an actress named Kim. They had a fine life. She was a good wife and bore him a young son named Jim. All of the answers and all the questions he locked in his attic one day. 'Cause he liked the quiet, clean country living, and 20 more years slipped away.
I mean, there's one time we're in Daytona Beach, and I had food poisoning the day before.
Oh no!
Mike, I'm going to the show, and my buddies were there, and he goes, oh, Jimmy's up there, he's playing on his guitar, and the stage is set up like his living room. And he goes, well, wait a minute, I need the band on this one. So he takes a cassette and he's got like a stereo system and he goes, puts the cassette in. He's like, all right, Now we can play because they got the band. You know, I mean, he was just such a fun person. And, you know, my favorite album of his is A1A.
Okay.
And I was looking through that album, and then I started looking through, you know, all of the other, you know, albums that I have. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I love A1A, but God, this one is good too. I mean, his songwriting, you touched on it. His songwriting is tremendous. And I think that it gets overlooked.
Right.
Because of these more popular, you know, these lifestyle type songs. But if you go back, and I can grab any one of his albums, and he had like 30 something right. albums. Yep. I can grab any of them, and there are definitely 2 to 3 songs on each that are just absolutely incredible.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think you're right. I think it's overlooked because people just look at the party image and think like, yes. Oh, these are just party songs, you know, throwaways, what have you. And that's the extent of it. You know, no less than Bob Dylan was a fan of Jimmy Buffett's songwriting, would mention him as one of his favorite songwriters, mentioned in particular, A Pirate Looks at 40.
Yep.
Mother, mother ocean, I have heard you call, wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the men who rode you switch from sails to steam, and in your belly you hold the treasures you have ever seen. Most of them dream. Most of them dream. Yes, I am a pirate, 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate, arriving too late, arriving too late. But I've done a bit of smuggling, I've run my share of grass. I made enough money to buy Miami, but I pissed it away so fast. Never meant to last. Never meant to last. Just a few friends. Just a few friends.
And in fact, Dylan even covered that in concert sometimes, right? So that's a high honor.
That's awesome.
He also has cited in interviews that he liked, he went to Paris, and also Death of an Unpopular Poet.
And that's a gut-wrenching song.
Right. Yeah. You listen to those songs, and those are not, you know, to the casual Buffett fan, you know, I mean, a couple of those are on that Greatest Hits album, but to the casual listener, those are not necessarily what you equate with the Jimmy Buffett, you know, sort of image, lifestyle scene, right? He wrote some wistful ballads, I guess. I think I saw one writer call them, you know, and they were pretty commonplace, right? And I was going to ask if when you went to the solo shows, there were sort of more of that.
Yeah.
Presented.
Yeah, there was definitely more of that. And that's what made it so much fun, is because, you know, like I said before, yeah, hearing the greatest hits, okay, that's fine. But, you know, we went to hear those gems,
yeah.
Right? Those, you know, diamonds that he doesn't play all the time.
Right.
And that's what kept me going back and back and back, you know.
Right.
For those. And I don't know if you saw, but during COVID, his daughter Delaney did a video series with Jimmy, and they released it as an album. It's Songs You Don't Know by Heart.
And okay.
It went through his kind of his catalog, and it picked out, you know, like a 12-Volt Man, you know, a beautiful, you know, beautiful song. And it got into like his songwriting and how he came about. And what you said earlier about him being a tremendous observer.
Yeah.
And being able to put that into words is spot on. If you watch those video series, you know, that comes through, you know, crystal clear. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we talked about Jimmy being positive, and you hear, you know, he was surrounded by family and his dog, you know, when he passed away, and he told his daughter, you know, keep the party going.
Yeah.
The man was just such I can't say it enough. He was such a positive influence. And really, as this week has gone on, and I've looked at, you know, the tributes, and I've gone back and I've listened to these songs that I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, and really for the first time in a while that I've gone back and just, you know, started listening to those albums. Yeah, it's a little bit gut-wrenching, and I want to share a lyric.
Okay.
It's a passage from, this is from the album A1A, which I said is, you know, it's my favorite album.
Okay.
And this is a song called Migration, and Jimmy was also, you know, concerned about ecology and, yes, you know, the environment.
Yes.
And the Keys being, you know, and part of it was, you know, part of it was him, like, but the Keys being overdeveloped and all of that. So right. He's got this verse in here. Most of the people who retire in Florida are wrinkled and lean on a crutch, and mobile homes are smothering my keys. I hate those bastards so much. I wish a summer squall would blow them all the way up to fantasy land. Yeah, they're ugly and square. They don't belong there. They look a lot better as beer cans.
Nice.
I mean, you know, he certainly was a hell of a songwriter.
I was reading this tribute from Paul McCartney, you know, another giant pays tribute to Jimmy Buffett. And apparently McCartney is on a Jimmy Buffett song that was just released. That's going to be on.
Yeah, I played it on my radio show this morning.
Okay.
The gummy just kicked in.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently they were great friends. And McCartney also noted what a great observer Buffett was, that apparently they'd be out places and Buffett would notice how people would talk or things like that. And then McCartney would say, I bet you're going to put that in a song. And then he did, you know, so that was his songwriting technique. Go out and you know, find real life sort of scenarios. Right. This is what I was getting at. So McCartney said he loved hanging out with Buffett too, because Buffett always had great stories, you know, just tremendous stories from his life. And I was reading about how Buffett once was flying in a plane from Jamaica, right? And the Jamaican police were shooting at the plane because they thought they confused him and thought he was a marijuana smuggler.
Yeah. And who was in that plane with him?
Bono. Bono was in the plane too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He kept good company for sure. Yeah. It was amazing.
Absolutely kept good company. You know, the one thing I also wanted to talk about is a little bit about Key West, right? His influence down there. I remember going there with my wife, pre-kids, and I'm like, all right, we're going to stay in Key West. I'm going to go to Fausto's and get a chocolate milk. We're going to Captain Tony's. You know, we're doing all of this. You know, you do kind of like the Buffett, you know, trail, you know, down there.
Right, the Buffett and, trail. Yeah,
it's an amazing legacy. I'm glad. You know, we say this when our music stars, you know, pass away, you know, we have the music to keep them living in our memory. And I'm so glad that we, you know, we have that with Jimmy. And I do hope, like, you know, people explore beyond those hits, right? Those party songs. I mean, if you know, just skip those party songs. I mean, play them when you're having a party.
Sure.
But go back and listen to, you know, some of the great writing, you know, that he's done. I mean, you know, there's the song My Lovely Lady Friend. You know, it's got a line in there. She can eat her own weight up in crab meat. And there's plenty of that down there by the sea. I mean, come on. You know, it's just fantastic. I will say, he released a song called Bubbles Up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've heard that.
A new song?
It's brand new.
Yeah. No, I have not yet.
And it's about, you know, if you're as a scuba diver, or if you, you're in a ship, you know, wreck, follow the bubbles, right? The bubbles take you to the surface.
Okay.
And it's gut wrenching right now. It just tears me up when I listen to that song. And I played it on my show today and I was like, all right, I'm going to try to get through this. Right. But it's positive. And a buddy of mine said it's like the Warren Zevon song, Keep Me in Your Heart.
Yes.
Keep Me in Your Heart. Yes. Right. That when Killer. He passed away, or yep. like, you know, David Bowie, when, you know, when he passed away and he did that album, and there's a couple songs on there that you just see it in that light.
Right.
And Bubbles Up is the same thing. You know, it's about, you know, their struggle. But be positive, you know, find your direction. And it's a very powerful song.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks very much. Kevin, we should mention, if people are wondering when Kevin is referring to a show, that's the Rock in the Suburbs radio show. Yes. On Saturday mornings, right?
Every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time, it's Jamming with Kevin. And we start with a fish song. It's the fish song of the week. And then we get into whatever, you know. Sometimes there are themes, and sometimes it's kind of like, you know, WTF Saturday.
That's right. That's right. So go to suburbsradio.com to listen to Rockin' the Suburbs Radio and Kevin's show in particular. Okay.
And Jim, I know you're wrapping it up, and I just want to thank you for doing this. I know that Buffett, you know, may not have a, on the surface, may not have a strong appeal to the community, but I think, you know, you cannot deny his influence.
Totally.
And I think, you know, sometimes you just have to open your ears to different things.
That's right. I totally agree. Totally agree. And I would say this too, what he did very well. And that's what we should all aspire to, right? Take that thing you love and do it to the best of your ability. And I believe he accomplished that. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks very much again, Kevin Bartlett. I'm Jim Lenihan. Rest in power, Jimmy Buffett. And we'll talk to you all later.
When this world starts a-reeling from that pressure drop feeling, we're just treading water each day. There's a way to feel better, be well set to weather the storms till the sun shines again. When your compass is spinning and you're lost on the way, like a leaf in the wind, friend, hear me when I say, bubbles up, they will point you towards home. No matter how deep or how far you roam, they will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know that you are loved. There is light up above, and the joy is always enough. Bubbles up.